Good morning and welcome on Sunday the 20th of June 2021. Our readings for today are from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 1 to 13 and the Gospel of Mark chapter 4 verses 35 to 41. And also earlier in the service we had the psalm, and the psalm was number 133. And I mention the psalm because in that psalm it talks about unity. And unity is so important because what it says in Psalm 133 is, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And then it gives us an example. And so often the way that Jesus talked is that he talked using examples, or he used parables. He talked about the kingdom of heaven is like. Well, here, let me read Psalm 133 again. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil." And when it's talking about the precious oil, it's saying it's like. In other words, if you want to understand unity, this is what it's like, and it gives a picture. But it starts off that brethren dwell together in unity. And then the final part of verse 3, because there's only three verses in this psalm. It says, "For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." And life forevermore is eternal life, is what it's pointing towards. But where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing. Now the unity is not necessarily that we all get on together. And unity isn't all that we do exactly the same thing. But that brethren dwell together in unity is dwelling together with him. Because he is perfection. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are saved by grace through faith. And not by works, lest no one should boast. But we are saved by grace through faith. Saved by grace. Grace is what God has done for us. And then more particularly, grace is what Jesus Christ has done for us whenever he died upon the cross. And all that he made available for us. Because when he died upon the cross, he defeated sin. It was forgiven. And when he died and he descended into the depths of the earth and indeed into hell, there was a battle and he took captivity captive. And he took the keys of death and hell and he rose on the third day victorious. And that's all that Jesus Christ has done for us. And by defeating sin, by paying the price for it, so that everyone can be forgiven. And by defeating Satan and the depths of hell, by defeating very death, because he rose from the dead and he was alive and lived with his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. He lived with them, he talked with them, he taught them, he ate with them. But he ate with them in a resurrected body that bore the signs of his crucifixion, with holes in his hands and his feet and a hole in his side where the spear had been put in to prove that he was dead. And yet he was alive. That is what he has done for us by grace. He did that. He went through that. So we don't have to go through that. But Jesus Christ went through that. And the payment that comes from that is we're forgiven. But also, what came after that, after ascension, came Pentecost. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. And with the Holy Spirit came the ability to be able to understand the Bible. Because he is the one who leads us into all truth. And he's the one who makes the scriptures come alive to us. For we understand these things now because he is in us, because we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We've accepted him his sacrifice. By faith we believe in his grace, for we are saved by grace through faith. And that is such a wonderful truth. And yet in these readings today, we hear of turmoil, we hear of challenges, we hear of difficulties. In the reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is saying and speaking and talking about what he has done. In fact, not only himself, because he says we, this is what we have done. And he's talking to the Corinthians about how we have come to you and we have done so much for you. But what we've done is we've done it from the point of view of not look at us and see what we have done, but from the point of view of what we have done for you, O Corinthians. And the reason why I say that is because when we are in unity, when we are in Him, in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, and Father God, whenever we commune with the Lord God Almighty, and we're in unity with Him, we are always thinking of other people because He did. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. God was thinking of us whenever Jesus went to the cross. He didn't do it because it gave Him goosebumps. No, He did it because of His love for us. For remember that God is love. His very nature, His very person is love. And again, He doesn't love us because it gives Him warm feelings. That's so often we talk about love. We talk about how we love someone and how it makes us feel. God loves us because that's who He is, and He loves us by choice. He loves us by choice. And so Jesus went to the cross by choice because of His great love for us and been able to redeem us and renew us and able to save us from death and hell. And so to all who would believe and receive, would receive not only salvation from their sins, not only receive salvation from death and hell and be able to have life forevermore, but also to have life right now. And so Paul in 2 Corinthians 6 is talking to the Corinthians and saying to them, look, don't let this grace be for nothing. Let me just turn there to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And what it says then is, we then as workers together with Him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. They were pleading with them not to receive the grace of God in vain. How can we receive the grace of God in vain? Because we get saved, but yet we go back to doing things the way that we did. And that was, if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians and you listen to what the people were doing, they so easily got back into indulging themselves. They came to Holy Communion together and they made a mockery of it because they were wanting to feed themselves and they were wanting to glory in things. And Paul had to rebuke them and bring them back in the line. He had to tell them and talk to them about the things they were doing wrong. Don't let the grace of God that you've received be received in vain. And he gives insight to this later on in that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Because this is what it says as we go on towards the end of the passage. Verse 12. Well, actually, that's verse 11. It says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. And then verse 12, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Their own affections. They were restricted because they started looking at themselves. Now, don't get me wrong in this and try to understand this. It is right and good that we buy things for ourselves. It's right and good that you wear clothes. Of course, you know, we're not supposed to be like Adam and Eve in the garden before they fell because they had no clothes. We're supposed to wear clothes And hopefully you live in houses with a roof over your head. That you don't live in the back of a car or a van or live under the stars. Because those things don't give glory to God. Now am I saying you can't live like that? Of course you can. But God doesn't want you to stay there. But at the same time, once you do have your home, once you do have the clothes, don't let the things, those things, become your main focus for living. Don't be trying to get bigger houses. Don't be trying, just be wise. Or if you're trying to get those things, do it for the kingdom of God. So that you're trying to bless somebody to be able to stay there. You're trying to bless somebody with the things that you have. Because you will do that because your focus is other people. Your focus is not yourself. Because remember, Jesus died on the cross for us. He did it for us. He wasn't doing it for himself. He did it for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But it starts off by saying, for God so loved the world. It was for us, for other people. And so we become a part of that whenever we receive him by faith and we trust in his grace and what he has done for us. Because we don't receive it selfishly. And that's the real challenge. Don't receive it selfishly. Don't be going, oh great, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I can now go do whatever I like. That should not be our heart's desire. But our heart's desire is for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, just like Jesus did. Because he listened to the Father and he only did what he saw the Father doing. Now in a very real way, that brings us to the gospel reading. What I've just said there is that he spoke with the Father and he heard and he saw and he did what the Father said. Because in the gospel reading in Mark chapter 4, this is what it says. In verse 35 it says, on the same day when evening had come, he said, and that's talking about Jesus. Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Jesus said to them, said to the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. The Father had already shown him that he would go over to the other side of the lake. It wasn't a case you will go over in a boat. And when you get halfway through, the wind and the waves and the storm's going to come along and you're going to be shipwrecked or you're going to be drowned. No. It's not just a throwaway statement. There's nothing that Jesus said was ever throwaway. It was always said with a purpose and it was always the truth. And so Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And then as we read on in the gospel reading, the wind and the waves came along and the storm, and Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. And they shook him and they got him up. And they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They couldn't understand why he was asleep in the boat and not up and panicking and bailing water like they were. And the reason why he wasn't is because he had said, let us cross over to the other side. He knew he was getting to the other side. But maybe part of why he knew he was getting to the other side is because he had already blessed the disciples with the Holy Spirit for the time that they were with him. They already had gone and laid hands on the sick and seen them recover. They'd already cast out demons and seen the demons go at the name of Jesus. They already had raised the dead. They'd already cleansed the leper. All of these things they had already done. And yet here they are in a boat and the wind is blowing and the waves are raging and they've become fearful. Why? Because some of them were fishermen. And as fishermen, they understood the wind and the waves. And the other disciples would have known that they were fishermen, some of them. Peter, James and John, Peter and Andrew and James and John, four of them at least, were fishermen. And so perhaps the other disciples saw them and went, yeah, well, after all, Peter is Jesus' right-hand man. So if Peter's panicking and bailing water, then we know that there's something up here and maybe we should listen to him. And that's what it's talking about in Corinthians, is yes, a different people, about being persuaded by their own affections. They took their eyes off of Jesus. They took their eyes off of the memory of what they had already done, of what they already had. And you see, this is the thing, the lesson for us, because we need to realize that we're not saved by grace through faith in vain. God has saved us for a reason and for a purpose. There's a reason why you're listening to what I'm saying and what I'm talking about. And I would encourage you to go and read Psalm 133, to go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, to go and read Mark chapter 4. But when you read it, to look at us, what is this saying to me? Who am I in Christ? Who is Christ in me? What does it mean that I am born again? What does it mean that I am filled with the Holy Spirit and with power? Because is it just to give me warm, fuzzy feelings? No, absolutely not. Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. His expectation was that if anything happened, his disciples would be able to deal with it. But not deal with it in their own strength, not deal with it with the things that they were familiar with, i.e. being fishermen and how boats worked on the sea. But rather to deal with it in the very same way that Jesus dealt with it. Because once they had awakened him, verse 39, then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now I can instantly think that there are people that are listening to me right now and they're thinking, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are that we can command the wind and the waves? That we can change the weather? And I would say to you, do you not realize who you are? Do you not realize whose you are? When we go back into Genesis at the very beginning of the Bible, God said, he spoke words, and everything that we see came into existence. Now, the difference is, granted, it was perfect. We look out at a world that is corrupt. We see differently because we're looking at a fallen world. But God spoke and he made it be. It came into existence. Then he took Adam with all the animals, and whatever Adam called the animals, that's their name. God gave Adam the authority. Now I know, granted, that I'm going to quote something that's after Mark chapter 4. And it's recorded in Matthew 28, where Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go, as in you go, talking to the disciples. And that's also talking to us. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded you. And what were the all things? Cleansing the leper, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. We are meant to do those things as well. That's why we've been saved. That's why we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And people again may still be saying, yeah, but we've done those things and we believe those things. But you're talking about the weather. You're talking about the wind and waves. Are you telling us that we can get up and say, peace, be still? Are you telling us that we can rebuke the weather and it will obey us? Yes. Yes, I am. Because God spoke it into existence, he had authority over it. If he's able to make it with his words, then he could control it by his words. Jesus proved that. Because Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. And Jesus said, peace, be still. Remember, he's our example. He's not just, oh, look what the Lord's done. No. Because remember, Jesus was the same as us, except without sin. Jesus operated on the earth as a man. Yes, filled with the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that we now are filled with, who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and with power. And so because we have that same baptism of Holy Spirit and power of the Holy Spirit, we can command the wind and the waves. Now, those of you that know me know that I have this statement, and it's something that God obviously has taught me as I've come along reading the scriptures. And I have this statement of, it doesn't rain on me in weddings and funerals. And people think that's arrogant and prideful. But I'm just speaking the truth. I'm just speaking the truth. Now, do I get it right every time? No, I haven't, unfortunately. Because there's still 2/3 of me that's human. Because remember, one part of me, my spirit, is identical to Jesus. But I'm getting there. And indeed, as far as making those statements about weddings and funerals, I'm probably closer to 100% getting it right than just started at the beginning. And there's different weddings that come to mind of talking to the bride and the bridegroom on a Monday at a rehearsal, whenever it's been bucketing and the rain is just coming down. And the forecast for their day, which was Saturday of that week, was it was going to be torrential rain. And I remember standing there and saying to them, you don't need to worry, it's not going to happen. Okay, yes, it may rain that day, but you see, at the times when you need it, i.e. whenever you arrive at the church and whenever you leave from the church and you're having your photographs before you go to the reception, it will not rain. And I said it like that. It will not rain. And it didn't. And yes, during the service and the ceremony, you could hear the raindrops bouncing on the roof of the church. And they were looking at me and smiling. Now, obviously, they'd come in and they were dry and they were able to get photographs at the beginning of their wedding ceremony. But the raindrops were bouncing and they were looking at me. And I was looking back at them and during the singing of a hymn, and I was smiling, I was going, yep, already told you that. And obviously, they couldn't hear me, but they knew what I was saying. And sure enough, at the end of the service, when they walked down the aisle and they came out the door, there was peace. And you could almost see, like, the wind, the waves, the clouds just separated and moved away. And for the time that was needed, it was beautiful sunshine. And it didn't rain. Why? Because as someone who is in Christ and Christ in me, I said, it will not rain. And I said it in a way that they knew. And that's all that Jesus did. He got up, he rebuked the wind. And he said, peace, be still. And it was. And they were. The sea was calm. And the wind stopped. And his disciples were amazed. And it doesn't record it in this way, but Jesus was amazed at them, that they didn't do it. Jesus was amazed. In fact, this is what it says in verse 40, "But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" They were more looking at their hands, at what they could do. They were more looking at their understanding. Yet Jesus wanted them to look at him and look at who it was that was within them. As Paul said to the Corinthians, you know, don't let your affections draw you away. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. The psalmist said in Psalm 133, brethren, such a delight. Let me just read that again. Sorry. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How blessed that is to dwell in unity. And then it finishes in the psalm by saying, for there the Lord commands a blessing. For there the Lord commands a blessing. So how are you going to live your life? Are you going to receive the grace of God in vain? Are you going to allow your expertise and your experiences from life to determine what you do or you don't do for God? Or are you going to embrace the scriptures and realize who you are in him and who he is in you? Are you going to read the like of this passage in Mark chapter 4 and realize that if Jesus can do it, I can do it. If Jesus can do it, you can do it. You just need to believe. Not believe that you can do it, but your belief is in him. Your belief is in the power of God that is within you. Just the same as to lay hands on the sick and you believe that they'll recover. Not because your hands are anything particular, but because you have done what the Bible says. You have laid hands on the sick by faith. But you believe that the power of God within you will make that person well. You will step out and do these things. You will, because you're in unity with him. Because in that unity, the Lord commands a blessing. But you've got to get up and go and do. You've got to face these things. You've got to change the things that are coming against you. Not change just to show off, but change because the Lord has said to you, you have that word, that witness in your heart. And you know that nothing can come against you because you are his and he is yours. You are in him and he is in you because you know who you are in Christ. You know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know who you are because you haven't been saved by grace through faith for nothing. It hasn't been in vain. And you will stand firm and you will stand strong and you will declare what the Lord has given to you. Not so you appear to be brilliant, but so that other people can be blessed, so that other people can be brought to faith, so that you're doing it for their good because you want the kingdom of God to expand. And the kingdom of God will expand because he is in you, operating through you, working through you for his kingdom and for his glory. Amen.